Okay, today's topic is echo chambers. And I got something little special to kind of bring that up with echo chambers. Echo chambers. Did you like that?
I wondered if you were, I was about to say, you mean like a little sound effect.
Yeah, I need a sound effect for echo chambers. What do we mean by echo chambers?
Are you going to turn that off? Are we going to make people turn, listen into that the whole
That's
time?
Why I asked you to define it, so I could turn it off. So what are echo chambers?
Man, I got some work to do on this whole podcast.
Hey, that we're all a work in progress.
Echo chambers. Well, this came up because the last conversation we had, this ended up on our list. Specifically, I have been thinking, and we've been talking a lot about the way that before we all had social media being one of the main ways that we're hearing from friends and distant friends and non-friends, I think maybe we were a little bit more aware when we were choosing to walk towards this group and only talk with this group of people that looks like us or sounds like us or agrees with us on whatever topic. But I think that because we now have these networks of I have thousands of friends on Facebook, we maybe have a false sense that we are getting a bigger slice of reality than we really are. And as the internet, I think it started even just with the pandemic starting, I have been realizing more and more the reality that these social media is free to me because other people are using this platform and are paying to use the platform to sell products to me. And so if you think about that, then the whole thing is designed in a lot of ways to give you more content that it thinks you will like. Now, I know that I am not a tech specialist. I do not work for Facebook, but but I realize that things are curated. I mean, I've definitely realized that with the ads, but even with the content that I'm seeing, the algorithms are built to notice what kind of content I've clicked on before and give me more of that. One of the ways that I really realized this was Sophia really loved the Great British Baking Show. And so
With good reasons.
And it's actually one of the reasons that I care so much about creating and not just consuming, because that was her initial gut reaction to watching the Great British Baking Show was to make cakes.
Mine was to eat and hers was to make.
Right? I think so many of us are like, now I need to go eat a cake and sit and watch more people bake while I eat. And Sophia's response is, okay, now we need to go make a cake. We need to frost a cake. We need to make this. We need to make that. She wants to take the little bit that she's learned and go do something with it. And I think that I just love that response from her. But she decided that she wanted to look on Instagram and find, she realized that there were these little clips of people decorating cakes and decorating things. And so she would ask to go look for them. And it only took a day or two of her searching Instagram for cake decorating tips for my feed has nothing to do. My like intentional people that I follow zero cake decorators. But just Sophia's search on Instagram turned my entire, like, what is that little thing though? Is it the search bar? Whatever the thing where, like, if you're just exploring Instagram for things that it thinks that you might like.
Yeah, your search, yeah.
The search, that entire feed. It used to be fairly, like, lots of different sorts of things, and it became exclusively cake decorating.
That's what happened to me when I started looking for those shoe boxes for my shoes. Every ad for shoe boxes started popping up.
But this wasn't even just ads. It was everything. People creating content just turned into cake decorating, which can be really great if that's what you're looking for and if you know that that's what's happening. But I think a lot of us use social media not realizing that in some ways it's like a search engine where it's made to just give you results that it thinks you're going to like.
So that's what happens when we have friends that all kind of believe the same thing and kind of post the same articles or video clips. Then everything we see in our news feed is curated by what we've clicked on and what our friends have sent us.
Yeah, and I think that's an interesting, the fact of it's curated by what you click on, because you may have started out with a more diverse set of friends that you befriended, but we've been realizing more and more, just because your Facebook friends or Instagram, you know, followers, doesn't mean that people are even seeing your content.
No, they're not.
It's based off of what they've interacted with. So, and often we tend to interact with the things that we like. And so I think some of it, it's like we're just we are experimenting on ourselves with all of this technology. And so I think some of it is just completely unawares that the internet has curated for us.
The algorithm.
Yes. Clearly, I don't do tech.
I should. I can barely say the word algorithm. Every time I say it, I want to make sure I say it right. But it's kind of like I just do a video called The Algorithm Life, because many of us are, that's the life we're living. Yep. If we're on all these social media networks, and then it just begins to feed us all the same information. Let me define echo chamber while I pull it up. Echo chamber is a metaphoric description of a situation which beliefs are amplified or reinforced by communication and repetition inside a closed system. And so that closed system could be Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, the news stations we choose to watch, because they have this same bent. And I think it's hurting us because we're not hearing different voices. And like we talked about in our previous podcast, the nuance thing. We don't hear nuance. All we hear is this is how it is. And we hear something opposing that, where we clutch this and we're not holding it like this.
And I think the way that a lot of different things, but especially the way I'm just realizing, the way that these social media algorithms have shaped a closed system that I at least was not really aware of how closed it was. Hmm. And so it makes it easy to dismiss when I do encounter a completely different point of view. It makes it easy to dismiss it because it feels like I have this wide group of friends and the only thing that any of them are sharing or believing is this single set. But I realize it's based off of an algorithm that made some choices for me, and I just didn't even realize that was happening. And so one of the things that's just had me thinking about is the fact that I need to use the internet, use these as tools, but be careful that I see them as tools and that I'm a little bit more aware about what they're actually doing for me and how they can help me, but also how they can hurt me by artificially closing in the system, that they're giving me more of a closed system than I actually thought I was getting.
Right, right. So what can we do about it?
Well, the first thing is I think we could just have more actual conversations.
And realizing that maybe we're stuck in echo chamber. Maybe, and that's this. So I think, again, as I thought about this, are we telling people that everyone is stuck in echo chamber? No, I'm saying I think we need to evaluate that, because I didn't realize how much the algorithm worked to feed me the same things until I started looking for shoeboxes for my shoes, and all of a sudden everything was about shoeboxes. And the same thing with Sophia and the Great British Baking Show. So I think it's important to evaluate, because if we're getting a lot of information, and all of us get sucked into social media. I mean, if you have it, you get sucked in, and you can find yourself just scrolling, and all you see is this one point of view. So for me, I've actually intentionally started subscribing to people that I wouldn't normally subscribe to, that I wouldn't necessarily follow, because I wanted to be able to get some, and I've heard about different people, and I'm subscribed to them, and just the other things that just outside of my norm, because I want to be able to hear from other voices and not just the ones that I think are from my friends. I have 5,000 friends on Facebook. They're not all my friends. Okay. And I think, and that's just the funny thing for me, is Facebook has been more diverse than Instagram, because I have 5,000 friends, and I have a lot of those are students who heard me speak, parents, they are adults who heard me speak, probably less kids now than before, but it's a wide range. I didn't notice that as much until Instagram, because most of those are more friends than they are people who may follow me or hear me speak somewhere.
Yeah. And I think that I'm just becoming aware of the way that it happens on social media, but this is not anything new, and it exists in different places. I'm really aware of the fact that because both of our kids are in the same school, they go to the same campus, even the preschool is on the same campus, that is a closed system. And there are really great things about closed systems, and then there also are liabilities to it being a closed system. The same with church. There is a way in which just the quirks of
your church
create a closed system, and there are things that can be comforting in the way that, you know, when you share things in common, that can be really great. But I'm just becoming more and more aware of the need for that, or the need to recognize it and to pay attention to where that is becoming an issue and starting to find ways of incorporating more voices.
I think even the community, it's important, not just online, but in community. And I think that community is not just with race, gender, and age. I think being a part of the church, most of my life, it's always segregated by age. Like you have the preschool group, the kindergarten group, the first grade, you know, you, and then you go up to adults. You have junior high, you have high school, you have young adults, you have college career age, you have young married, you have old married. They don't call them old marrieds, but you know, then we have the salt and pepper team, you know what I mean? So, but then where can we have that group? And I always remember what you said. And I don't know if I'm quoting you right, but when you were in college, you didn't like it because you were kind of all basking in your ignorance together. Like you didn't have other voices.
Yeah, that was I've always felt a little bit outside a lot of the norms, a lot of the normal systems. And I grew up in a system that never put me just with peers. I had never spent extended amounts of time just with my peers until I'm living in a college dorm. And it just hit me that we are all sitting around sharing our mutual ignorance.
And that's what you said, our mutual ignorance.
And I think one of the things that is really helpful when you cannot recognize that and break out of it a little bit is one of the things that became crippling about that, and that's where I recognize it, was like the level of anxiety and fear about certain things could really quickly spike because none of us had perspective outside of this one situation. We needed some old people to be in that conversation because we needed that perspective. We also needed some like little kids to be in our life. And I think that like there's really good things about those spaces. But again, it just hit me, man, I need to start cultivating, as all my other relationships had became really distant, I needed some children in my life so that I remembered what that was like. And I needed some older people who had been through this season, who had seen a lot more history. It just helped to give a little bit of perspective. It didn't mean that my situation wasn't real or didn't matter, but it helped me put it in the right place and it not just take over and be all of life.
One of my favorite stories is about when I was single before we met, even after we met, you know about the people I hung around with. We call the OSG, the original small group, part of my church back in St. Louis. Shout out to the OSG. But I loved being around them. And even before we got in that small group, when I was part of the church, I loved being around married couples and families so I can see. And it wasn't even conscious, but once I got around them, I started seeing things and start noticing things and learning from their mistakes, learning from their things they did that were good. And I would never forget the biscuit story where me and a friend went, we were going to watch some college football. And we went to, his wife was going out for the first time after she had a newborn and we were watching the baby. We went and got some chicken and all the stuff. We brought it back and she was like, where's my biscuit? And he was like, well... Then he made the huge mistake by trying to go in the refrigerator and get a biscuit from the night before that was, you know, from yesterday that was kind of leftover biscuit. And I was like, oh, this is not good. It didn't go good. But I remembered, if I get a biscuit, get my wife a biscuit. But that happened because I wasn't just in the echo chamber of single young guys hanging out, but because I was around married couples. I can see even the fact that he was babysitting his newborn. He's watching his newborn while we watch football and she went out. That those things happen in marriage. It's not just the ideas of my friends and what we go continue to do all the time. And so I think that helped me a lot to be around other people and not just in that echo chamber of just my peers. Mm-hmm. So I think that's very important as we enter any conversation, especially when it comes to politics or anything in our nation culturally, that we should make sure that we are trying to. My view is we should evaluate. So that's the homework assignment or the call to action is, you know, in your group, whether that group would be, hopefully it's a diverse group, have that conversation. Are you at echo chamber? Do you get together and just fuss and yell about all the things or do you leave space to hear a different viewpoint so you can see things a little differently?
And I would encourage identifying the echo chambers that exist in our lives, because I think that they probably exist in multiple spaces.
Not just in small groups. But I think it's a good conversation.
And well, and that like I would say that I as a person exist in multiple different echo chambers. I think that I've got there's a school echo chamber that exists. There's a, you know, within our own house, within a friend group, there's a faith sphere where just because of how I've grown up and the church group, there's an echo chamber that exists there. And I think it's helpful to just identify what are those.
Right. And we're not saying you shouldn't have peer groups. We're not saying you shouldn't have people to kind of believe the same thing. That's kind of just natural because you gravitate to each other. But I think to be able to acknowledge that maybe I need to look at some, making sure I'm not in all echo chambers everywhere I go.
And it's again, just that idea of awareness, because then you can come to a conversation, you can come to the table knowing what you bring.
Yeah. So, with that said, I think I'm gonna let you end the episode today.
Thanks.
Bye. Thanks and bye. You're not gonna tell them to check out.
I meant to write down. You wrote down that you said something catchy at the end of the last one. Check us out on Apple, the little purple thing.
Apple Podcast.
The little purple thing with the little podcasty guy on it, and anywhere else that you listen to your podcast.
There you go. There you go.
And maybe on YouTube, but we're not gonna look at you.
If you have, maybe this is the first time I heard this. We are recording this for YouTube, but I'm trying not to look at the camera because I just want you to watch it. I know, but we won't look at you. Sounds quite different. Yeah, catch on YouTube, but we won't look at you.
Sorry. And if you want to join this conversation, share your responses, he's going to tell you how you can do that.
LifeWithTheBrowns.com. LifeWithTheBrowns.com. They can also call. We have a call or text. Our feedback phone number. It's getting complicated. We do have a phone number you can call or text. That number is 530-535-8121. Once again, that's 530-535-8121. You can leave a voicemail or you can send a text and we will get it. And hopefully we can incorporate it in our next conversation with the Browns.
All right. Thanks, friends.
Peace.
I was waiting for that.